You are now listening to the Life in Football podcast. Check out the new website, lifeinfootball.com. Once again, the website is lifeinfootball.com. Thanks for listening.
This is a new day to live your life. This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. This is a new day to live your life. This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. It's life in football. We are life in football.
Welcome to the Life in Football podcast, baby. I'm your host, Mike Fee.
And this is your coach, Colin Moore. You know, we love life and enjoying football.
Top-notch coaches all around the world. Top-notch coaches all around the world. Today, we got a special one for y'all today, baby. We got Coach Alonzo Carter, Coach Zoe. And he's coaching currently with San Jose State, them Spartans. He's the running back coach and the recruiting coordinator. But before I go on with that, I gotta show love to San Jose State because they were one of the first programs that followed us on Twitter. And we had Miss Tabrick Blaine on from the Beyond Football program. She was on our podcast. And we had number 66, Lamar Barrett, who is the offensive lineman for the Spartans on our podcast. And this was before he even was a Spartan. Well, he had signed to him, but he hadn't, you know, officially been on campus as a full-time student yet. But, you know, we just had to do that real quick and give that shout-out to them because San Jose State has showed mad love, and they're a top-notch program that I'm so excited that we're about to have Coach Carter on the podcast as well. Now Coach Zoe, he's coming straight out of Oakland, California, baby.
Yeah.
He graduated from East Bay, California, with California State University, East Bay. And he got a lengthy music entertainment career. And he was out there with Mr. Hammer. Don't hurt him. Now, for y'all younger folks who don't understand, this is major to me, especially me and Simo, because we around that age. Well, this was really popping off and going down with MC Hammer back in the day. They had the cartoon, so just imagine he flying all across the country. So let me let y'all know, he like back like right now, it would be like a Chris Brown, Beyonce. Well, no, he was bigger than Chris, but I say like a Beyonce or something like that right now. Well, they going all across the country, tearing down shows, doing the thing, and you know, that's just a small piece of him. He was a high school head football coach too at Contra Costa, Berkeley, and Clemens. And he trained and coached over 14 professional players, man. And in 2019, he was named the Mountain West Recruiter of the Year. And check this out. In 2020, he was named the National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches Executive Committee. He was named to that committee. And hey, just to let y'all know, now he been on top of his game now. In 2001, he was inducted into the African American Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame. And I know I keep going, but this the type of guy we got on today, a legend.
Oh, man. I appreciate
it. With this year, he was a part of putting together Zoom calls all across the nation with over 600 coaches nationwide. And basically, they was trying to help all minority coaches, you know, have an upward mobility and to have better chances across the college landscape in coaching. And then they were talking about in addressing social justice, injustices across the country. Man, but I'm going to stop talking, running my mouth, and I'm going to let C-Mo bring him on.
How you doing, Coach?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good. Coach, I want to add on just a little bit before I jump into my first question, which I do want to say, I just want to let you know that, man, God worked this thing out good because, he, like Mike said, we did have Miss Tabrick on, and she told us But when she had me on the phone, when we was talking before the podcast, she said, hey, listen, I love what you guys are about. And you guys need to get with Coach Carter. He got an amazing story. He's definitely who you want to talk to. And then God set it up where me and you got in touch over the summer, or right before the summer or something like that. Mm-hmm. And me and you talked, and it was good. I was like, wow, look how God be working stuff out. Now, just the keynote on all that, I do want to say, look how God worked it, where I don't know how it all started, when you decided to do what you did, but when you started the Zoom, how the Zoom went to you and Coach Lockley and all the other coaches getting together, starting the organization, like, how did all these steps just come about? Like, when did it start and how did it start?
Well, most importantly, you know, I want to thank y'all for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, I'm just a humble brother trying to do his part. Like you said, born and raised Oakland, California, you know, single mom raised me. I had a kid at 17. You know, I didn't meet my dad till I was 23 years old, and just went through a whole lot of trials and tribulations through my life. So I wanted to try to find ways to give stuff back. So once I got hired over here at San Jose State, and then the COVID situation came, you know, our coach kind of put a challenge to us. He was talking about professional development. What can you do while we're out from the building? What can you do professionally to get yourself better? So we met every week on the Zoom calls for our staff, and we would have to share weekly what we did from week to week to get ourselves better. So once we returned, we would be not only did we want the players to be better, but we wanted the coaches to be better too. So I got on running back Zoom with some brothers, Tommy Robinson he was at LSU, now he's at Texas A&M, and Jabbar Jaluk over there at Louisiana Lafayette, and just a whole lot of different coaches across the country. Kyle McDonald from Utah put me on this running back Zoom clinic, and we would just talk ball, man. It was some deep coaches from Florida State, Iowa, you know, Louisville. I mean, everywhere across the Pac-12, it was just a whole lot of different coaches. And we would talk ball, and I felt it was helping me get better. But I wanted to take it a step further because, like I said, Kyle McDonald from Utah, A.T. Aristotle Thomas from Cal, and Jimmy Bill from Montana State, we was on it as well. And I said, look, man, it's like 25, 30 coaches on this nationwide, you know, Zoom thing. What about if we took this group and just made it a West Coast thing and kind of combed it down and got coaches from the Mount West, the Big 12, I mean, the Big Sky and the Pac-12, so we could talk about things, not only as far as football, but things away from the game. Let's talk about the game within the game, things off the field. How do you get better? How do you develop? How do you be, you know, how do you elevate each other? How do we as black men? Because when you looked on that Zoom call, 95% of the people on the Zoom call that were running back coaches, they were all black. And I was like, man, you know, we want to be head coaches and coordinators, but it's hard coming from the running back position. But you got people that we looked up to like Anthony Lynn and Eric Bieniemy. You know, those guys were like the at the forefront of people in our mind that we seen make that jump from being running back coaches to coordinators or head coaches. You got Tony Elliott now at Clemson. So it was some people out there, but it wasn't a lot of us. So we wanted to figure out how could we do it. So I took it upon myself to start conversations on elevation in the game. And next thing you know, we started off with 35 guys, man. The following week, it was 100 guys, and then it doubled 200 guys. And every week it grew. And lo and behold, I end up getting Eric Bieniemy on the Zoom. I end up getting a Mike Locksley on the Zoom. I end up getting James Franklin, Herman Edwards, you know, David Shaw, you name them. They was on there. Willie Taggart, another running back coach that's now a head coach. I end up getting all those guys on there. And Hugh Jackson and Anthony Lynn came on there. So it was just trying to find ways of getting conversation on how can we elevate each other? How can we get better in this business and have some upward movement? And we want to listen to each other, learn from each other, and network with each other. And that was the whole premises of it. And man, that thing, three times we had plus 600 guys on one Zoom call, several times plus 500. So when it was all said and done, over 8,000 guys, with coaches, men and women, athletic directors, everybody. We had over 8,000 people checking in on that Zoom call, which started off with 35 people.
Now, Coach, with such an amazing, that you can't beat that. Like, you know God had his hand in that. Like, with that being said, how has it been going forward? Like, with all of you guys, do y'all talk anymore? Or do, since the season started, to get a little, how does it go now?
Well, for me, the biggest thing was, like I say, the network piece. It went both ways. Not only was it networking for young coaches, it was networking for me, too, because my mom is born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. My dad is from Brundage, Alabama, which is near Troy. So my ties is in the South. So I wanted to establish relationships with brothers in the Deep South. And back when I was with Hammer, I traveled all through the South. And even with my group, Ho Fret Ho, we shot our video, Ho Fret Swing, in 1992 at Southern University. You know, so if you pull that up on YouTube, you'll see me with a Southern University shirt on at their campus filming the video way back in the early 90s. So I was able to connect with all the cultures from the MEAC and the SWAC and all the, just across the country, just being able to have relationships and extend myself. And not only on a professional level, but on a personal level, I call those guys. I talk to Willie Simmons and Terry Sims. I talk to them guys once or twice a week. You know, those are people that I consider brothers now. I talk to them on the regular. They give me good advice. You know, Dawson Odoms over at Southern, Clarence McKinney at Texas Southern, you know, Dooley at Prairie View. I mean, those are guys I talk to. Latrell Scott, Larry Scott, all them guys. Those are guys I talk to on the regular. That prior to the Zoom, those weren't people that I really had a tight knit with. I knew them, I knew of them, but now I can consider them my friends, people that I can reach out to and have conversation. And they support me. You know, they watching what we doing. They watching San Jose State play. They tune in every week and they follow us because we've been on national TV. So they've been able to watch us start off with this 4-0 start. And I always get friendly text messages from them. And I was able to get 13 of the 14 African-American head coaches in the FBS level all on my Zoom call. And that was a blessing in itself. You know, I had them all on there. Mel Tucker, Herman Edwards, James Franklin, like I said, Mike Lockley, Willie Tiger, David Shaw, Dino Babers, Jay Norvell. You know, I had all those, Jimmy Lake, Carl Durrell. I mean, I had them all on the Zoom. And it was just big having those relationships and being able to talk with these people.
Now, Coach, we gotta jump off in this entertainment reel that you had a little time in. But I know you giving a chance, and I have a chance right now to teach the young people, you know, different things and aspects that y'all had to deal with too. Could you just give us a little insight on how it was? Cause I can't even imagine. Cause honestly, around that time. And it's amazing to hear, you know, you already had your group, but I know with the Hammer thing, Hammer was so big to me, you know, even when the video dropped, like back in the day, we in the high waiting for the video to come out. Because it was such a, you know, big event almost. So if you could touch on that.
Well, if you remember, I'm from Oakland, and Hammer also, I went to McClimbers High School. I graduated in 86. Hammer was older than me. So before he went national and signed with Capitol Records, he was a local on Buster Records. So he was, he was selling his albums out the trunk back then, and everybody loved his music. So I was always a fan of Hammer. And then when I was at Cal State Hayward, me and my good friend, Michael Session, we went to his video. We became extras in that video, man. He gave us a chance to dance in the original Let's Get It Started video. If you go back and look at the original Let's Get It Started video, it was shot in Oakland at Sweet Jimmy's. You'll see me dancing in the video with my man, Michael Sessions, a.k.a. Heavy Ho. God rest his soul. He's passed away. But we were in that video. We had a group that we used to call Club New Ho, based off Club Nouveau, and we changed the name to Ho Fret Ho later on once we got with Hammer. But that was my start, and I was able to, that summer in June, go on tour with him and do the Budweiser Superfest. I was supposed to come back in August to finish my senior year up in football. But, man, we hit so big. You know, we was able to do the Arsenio Hall show. We shot, they put me in the mix video at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. We shot that live. That blew up. And we danced with Oaktown's 357. We danced with Ace Juice, one of his other groups. So we was just all over that. And he's like, hey, man, you're not going back to school. You're going to become official posse member. And not only was I a posse member, I became the posse leader. And I ended up helping me and my brother, Sydney, Alvin, and Steve. We all helped choreograph the movie, which was Please Hammer It or Hurt 'Em, the movie, which after that, we also helped choreograph You Can't Touch This, which we know what happened with that. And, you know, that took our careers to a whole nother level, man. We did Oprah. We did the Grammys, the American Music Awards, the MTV Awards. I mean, we traveled to Japan, Hawaii. I mean, anywhere that you can name it, we did it. But it was, we were just blessed to be in that seat because that was just supposed to be a little summer tour for me that turned into a career. And I wanted to make sure while I was out there, I stayed humble. I stayed in my lane. I stayed professional about it. And me and Hammer are friends to this day. He supports me in what I'm doing as a football coach and in my career. And I always want to come back to my community, which was Oakland. And that's what got me into coaching. When I came back off tour, I went back to McClimas High School. And I wanted those young men from the inner city of Oakland, West Oakland, which is the toughest part of Oakland, to see if I can make it, they can make it. You know, I was a teenage dad, and I pretty much had nothing, man. I just bet on myself. I stayed prayed up. Like you say, my faith was always in track. I treated people right. I did the things that I felt that if I paid my blessings forward, it would always help other people. Then, you know, and God would have his way of blessing me on the back end. So here I am, 51 years old. That's 34 years later. I'm still trying to bless people and pay those blessings forward. So when you do stuff like a Zoom call, I mean, that was nothing to do that compared to how I started my career, leaping out on faith, going down to the video, trying to get an MC Hammer's video. And as you can see, that turned into a major career for me. And I'm just blessed to have an opportunity. And my favorite places is when I was down south, whether it be Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. Oh, man, we love being in the South, man. Alabama, you know, like I say, that's where my family. I met my dad, even though he was incarcerated, when I was on tour with MC Hammer in Birmingham, Alabama. So if it wasn't for me being on tour with MC Hammer, I probably never would have met my dad, you know. So it was a blessing to have that and to be able to be a dad myself. I understand the importance of a male role model and a male figure in my life. So I owe a lot of that to my career. Without that career, I wouldn't have been able to be the man that I am right now.
Wow, what an amazing journey. Mm-hmm. And I just want to have you speak on, because I'm going to say a few things right mm-hmm. now, but it's just amazing the journey you had. And I know you got your degree in African-American mm-hmm. studies, but you having a major impact in, you know, African-American lives right now, and not just African-American lives, but all lives, really, that, you know, you going out and you created other things to also make an impact.
Yes.
And then with you doing the video way back in the day at Southern and come full circle mm-hmm. to now having communication. Now, if y'all don't know these names, y'all better go look them up, what the names I'm finna say, because he just said them earlier. Coach Dooley, he the head coach at Prairie mm-hmm. View. I'm talking about he an offensive guru. And Coach Willis Shotgun mm-hmm. Simmons, he an offensive guru at mm-hmm. FAMU. So these coaches right here in the HBCU world, yes. A lot of people look at them. So could you just speak on just the overall connection to, you know, from your African-American studies to your connection with HBCUs now, even though you're coaching at San Jose State?
Well, the biggest thing that when I went back to school, let me rewind. When I left tour, remember, I left 20 years old when I left to go on tour with MC Hammer. I was a junior in college. So when I came back, I never went back to school to finish my degree. So even though I came back and started coaching, the one thing that was missing on my resume was my degree. So first thing first, once I was at Berkeley High School and became the head coach there after McClymonds, I went back to Contra Costa College and got my associate's degree first. So once I got my associate's degree, I transferred that back to Cal State East Bay, which when I went there was called Cal State Hayward. So I had to take my transcripts. And they was like, what is, you know, this is old. Now, here's how God works. One of my former players, Ishmael Anderson, which played for me at McClymonds High School, I got him a scholarship to UC Davis. He graduates, gets his degree and his master's. Now he's a counselor, the EOPS counselor at Cal State East Bay. So one of my former students now is my counselor, breaking down my transcript, telling me how I can finish up and get my degree. So he kind of pushed me to get my degree, and that's when he switched my major. He said, find something you like, coach. Find something you love. And one thing about our culture that we need to understand as Black men, as Black people, it's the Black Lives Matter movement is real and it's very relevant. But we need to understand who we are as people. We need to understand where we come from. We need to understand how relevant, how important we are as Black people. So learning about me, learning about my culture, a lot of that stuff that should be taught to us in elementary school and middle school and especially high school, you don't learn that stuff till you go to college. So to be able to learn about all the different diversity in our culture and just different things that go on, especially not only just in our culture, but in Hispanic culture, in Indian culture. I mean, you learn about so many different things about how relevant, how important, how we were kings, you know, all these different things, how the wealth from Africa came over, you know, before we came over here, how relevant we are in history. There's just so much stuff that you learn. I took that and I wore that with a badge of honor. And when I got my degree and was able to now connect later on with coaches from the HBCUs, you learn and you have the already have respect for them brothers. I already knew there were great coaches and in the good programs, not only just in the MEAC and the SWAC, but also in the smaller schools. You know, you got coaches at Benedict and Morehouse and Clark, and you know, there's just so many schools. Winston-Salem State, I mean, there's so many schools I can name, you know, Bowie. I mean, there's all these different schools that have all this tradition and pride about it. And you just learn that, hey, I want to be able to relate to these brothers. I don't want them brothers to think just because I'm from the West Coast or I'm from California that I don't respect what they do. And that was just a blessing, man, to connect with the brothers, man. I have relationships with them brothers to this day, man. You know, I really talked to them. You know, there's a lot of good coaches down there. They've put in a lot of work. And I'm just blessed to be able to connect with them and have those relationships and be able to pick up the phone and outsource and get information and get a different perspective of what we're doing out here at our program and what they're doing down there in the South running a program. So I have much respect for them. And me being a former head high school coach and head junior college coach, hey, that's something that you look at and you respect it because you know what it takes to build a program. And I just have nothing but respect, and my hat goes off to what those brothers are doing, man. And I just, you know, it's a 50-50 respect that they now know about us. They never heard, I don't want to say never heard of San Jose State, but they never probably even paid attention to things that were going on in the Mountain West. They probably paid attention to some of the Power 5 schools or the Pac-12, but to now be able to have people paying attention to what we're doing in the Mountain West is just, it's big, man. It's a blessing to have those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Now, Coach, with all this happening, it from the how your life started to how everything from MC Hammer to the Black coaches getting together and all that, to San Jose State, y'all rolling right now. Does it seem surreal? Like, man, wow. Look, God just blessing us all across the board.
I don't want to use the word surreal. It just, you feel blessed. You feel like I said, you do what you're supposed to do. And once you touched and you blessed with something and you want to help others and it's an agenda and it's genuine, I feel God has a way of blessing you in that. when I started these Zooms, I didn't have no agenda other than how can I help us? How can I help the minority coaches? Not just, you know, primarily there was Black coaches, but we had Hispanic coaches. We had Polynesian coaches. You know, Kalani Sitake, the head coach at BYU, the first Polynesian coach in the history of that program. They 8-0 right now. You know, we have Mario Cristobal. He's from Cuban descent up at Oregon. Those are the Rose Bowl Pac-12 champions. He was on the Zoom. You know, so you try to find ways of getting different people to help you, but help others in the process. So when you hear everybody's story, man, I'm just trying to do my part to make sure, because I coached a lot of young guys. I got over 12 younger guys that are now coaching, whether it be junior college, Division I, or Division II football, as we speak, former players and former people that I've worked with, they're all coaching college sports right now. And now I'm considered, they call me OG. I'm like, man, when did I become OG? Well, I am 51 years old. But, you know, it's funny because I still feel young in my energy because my intention is to help other young men pursue their dreams, because you just don't wake up one day and go from coaching high school to Division I. It don't work like that. There's a lot of work that go into that. There's a lot of relationships that go into that. So I just wanted to make sure I extended my hand to help other people while I was helping myself.
Coach, yes. Now we're getting ready to wrap it up, but I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor to you to motivate anybody who may be interested in coaching, and also to motivate the ones who may just be looking for success in life. Yes. And that's what it's all about, life and football. So, Coach, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor to you. The floor is now yours.
Well, the biggest thing I want to say to anybody that's pursuing their journey, their career goals, whatever it is, don't ever let somebody tell you what you can't do. I'm operating on being told from in high school that I would never play college football. So I went on and walked on the football team, and I ended up being a starter by my junior year. And from there, I ended up traveling the world with the world's greatest entertainer at that time, MC Hammer. Then I started off coaching junior varsity football, and now here I am coaching Division I football. So all those things are trials and tribulations that you go through. I lost my brother to gun violence with the police, supposedly resisting arrest. This was before the Black Lives Matter situation. Downtown Oakland, shot and killed by the police. It was one of the toughest days of my life, but I had to rebound from that and take that experience and raise my own children. I have 6 children of my own, so I wanted them to learn, set the example. 5 of my 6, well, 4 of the 6 are in college, have already graduated from college. That son I had at 17, he has a college degree. He has his own family. He's 34 years old now. So I wanted them to see, despite whatever trials and tribulations or whatever stop signs are put in front of you, you just got to keep dreaming and stay humble and keep working. And I'm a true living example that if you really put your mind to it and you stay humble and you pray for the things that matter to you, and you meet and network and do people right, you can be blessed with other opportunities. And I mean, I just want to encourage people, don't give up. I went back at 46 years old and got my degree, you know, so if I can go back and do it, you can go back and do it. And now here I am working for Coach Brennan, which I befriended way back in 2000 when he first started as a position coach at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. He becomes the head coach of San Jose State. And I was one of the first people that he hired to be part of his staff. So just create relationships and network with people and do people right. You know, don't ignore people. Treat people how you want to be treated. And I think if you continue to do that and you continue to be realistic, short-term goal, long-term goal, go about it in the right way, you can do whatever you want to do. And I just want to keep people to stay encouraged. And if you need to talk to me, reach out to me. My Twitter is real easy, at Real Coach Carter. You can hit me out. You follow me, I'll follow you back. And then my Instagram is easy too, at Coach Alonzo Carter. Real easy. And if you want to email me, it's alonzo.carter@sjsu.edu. You're not bothering me. I don't mind helping people. this thing is, I'm blessed to be sitting in this seat. And it's a blessing to for what y'all are doing. Continue to do this. People need to hear this. This podcast is very relevant. It's very important. So keep this going. If you need me to come back at the end of the season, once we win the Mountain West Championship, you give me a call. I'll be right back on here.
Yes, sir. Hey, hey, y'all, he ain't joking because San Jose State, they bowling right now. I watched them the other day on TV. And I'm telling y'all, man, San Jose State is a program that is on the rise, a beautiful campus, and they got some real nice, clean uniforms, y'all. So I'm going to go ahead and let y'all know that was Alonzo Carter, Coach Zoe, and he came with some great information, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope y'all did as well. But I'm going to leave y'all like I always leave y'all. Keep your head up and not down, or else you'll fall to the ground. It's the Life of Football Podcast. Catch you next time.
This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. This is a new day to live your life. This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. It's life in football. We